There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, the home of cycling, brought to you by Zwift. Explore, train and compete on the cycling app where fun is fast. I'm Graham Wilgos. Brad, what a day of Vuelta.
Yeah, amazing, wasn't it?
Huge stage, and joining us to talk it over, the king, the return of the king, Sean Kelly.
Good evening.
And winner of the 1988 Vuelta a España, Sean. We should...
You have to keep reminding us of that.
Well, I think we should as we're talking about it.
I'm only joking.
Yes, 88 Vuelta and 87, the one I should have won.
And you played a part, let's come on to this a little bit later, but you played a part, or didn't play a part in the end, in Robert Miller not winning.
Did you ride that one?
In the chase in 1985.
Yes, I did. I was in that group with Robert. And
on that deciding day.
Yes, and a penultimate day. And it was a mountainous stage. And there was that break with Delgado and Riccio.
Riccio, yeah.
There was other ones, I think, but they were the two that held out in front. And the time checks weren't correct coming back, and we realised too late. And then, I spoke with Robert, and we started riding, but by far, far too late.
Yeah, he wasn't very happy afterwards, was he, at the time?
No, got totally flicked.
But it was a case that the Spanish didn't want a foreign rider, as they saw it, winning their race.
Well, out in front, of course, Riccio, who was riding for Kelme at the time, Delgado, another Spanish rider, so, it's... It was a case of, not getting the correct information at all. And, of course, the team, Peugeot, maybe they didn't be careful enough or because at that time you could expect things like that happening. When you're in a foreign team, competing against Spanish teams and Spanish riders, it's something that at that time it was always possible it could happen.
You ever face anything like we saw today on the final climb to the top of the Gamonteru in the mist, that otherworldly sort of atmosphere?
No, I think the Vuelta has been finding these new roads, and looking back at yesterday's stage to Lagos de Covadonga, that was the big one in the Vuelta, and I did it a number of times, and it was a major difficult one, because back in the day, the gearing we had as well, we didn't have the ratio of gearing back then. We had a 42, 41 inside chainring, and you had a 25 rear sprocket. So that tells, how difficult it would have been on the Lagos de Covadonga. Now, the gearing ratio you have is much, much lower, and you see the riders, they spin the gear on those climbs. But if you look at the footage of the Vuelta, if you look at the footage of the Tour of France, and the ones who are challenging or riding to win the race, they were just grinding up those steep climbs like Alpe d'Huez in the Tour of France, or like Lagos de Covadonga. It was just a grind to get up it, because we did not have the gearing to spin the gear.
Yeah, an elevation gain rarely seen in the Vuelta was how the organisers described today's stage, Brad.
Yeah.
Talk us through that final climb, and Movistar finally got their win with Superman Lopez.
Yeah, I mean, it was Movistar got their win. I think all the action happened on the climb, but I mean, in terms of it, it was a bit of a slog, really.
Yeah,
the gradients were such that it was always going to be that way. Adam Yates didn't live up to the hype. But Bernal laid it down, didn't he? He had a go.
Was Bernal animated it again today?
Yeah.
No, for the GC group particularly.
Yeah.
And again, fair play to him for giving it a go. It was Michael Storer who set his...
Yeah.
Storer the Explorer set his stall out early today. He went from 70K. Sean called it, actually. In fact, you called it just before he went. You went, oh, he's going to go on 70K. And then 70K came.
Well, I was joking a little bit because, now it seems to be the thing to do. Riders, they get into a big breakaway. Then, it's not working out in the breakaway, a lot of riders want to just sit on and get carried further into the stage. And thinking of the end of today's stage, there was a lot of riders thinking about that weight. But Storer had other ideas. And when he hit off, you know, I was just really kind of joking about it, but that's what he did. And, you know, that's what he's done already. And, you know, we've seen that in a lot of stages in tours of recent, also in the classic races. They seem to go for these marathon breakaways. It's the thing to do. And, yeah, they succeed a lot of the time.
And then we saw UAE working hard for David de la Cruz.
Yeah.
And de la Cruz it was who eventually caught Storer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we saw a huge GC battle on the front.
We did.
The two Movistar riders. Well, Enric Mas basically got a toe almost to the top of the climb.
Yeah.
Before Roglic struck out away from him and Bernal.
That's right.
But there was no catching Lopez up front, was there? So he finished with 14 seconds.
Did he?
So he's gained ever so slightly.
Right. Yeah. No, Roglic, that's exactly how I saw it. And yeah, I mean, there's not much to add really. It's that was pretty much it.
Bernal keeps giving it a go though. The animator.
Yeah, he does. And I think that's the mark of him. You know, he's a Giro winner. I think he's finally come back to the form he showed 2 years ago when he won the Tour. And obviously he's showed the form this year when he won the Giro. But we worried last year, didn't we? 2 years after last year when he was faded in the Tour and his back injury and whether he was ever going to get back to the heights of before. So this year has been a huge statement from him.
Enric Mas, second overall. Lopez, so Mas at 2:30. Lopez, the two Movistar riders at 2:53. Then we've got Jack Haig at 4:36. And then Bernal at 4:43. Is a podium overall still within reach for him, given that we've
got... For Jack?
For Bernal.
For Bernal. I think it's going to be very difficult now with the time gaps. He might have left it just a bit too late. If he had another stage like today, I think he could have done, yeah.
Hmm.
But I think it's going to be a tall order.
No one's mentioned... We've not talked about Bernal. Bernal's back and his back issues.
Well, he's not seem to have had any, is he?
Yeah. That... We mentioned it a couple of times over the course of the Giro, but it just doesn't seem to have affected him, or maybe we've just not noticed it.
Well, I just don't think it's there anymore, and I think he's it's more a lack of form more than anything. He came in a bit undercooked, I think, in this Vuelta.
Yeah.
And it's a shame there's not one, maybe another mountain stage like today for him to shine on.
Yeah, we've got one more to come, really, but nothing quite as savage as today. Sean, did we think he would recover from his back issues in quite the same way that he has?
Well... Yeah, it's a concern when a rider have a back injury, and we see last year the way he did struggle with it, and you know it can be something that really affects the rest of his career. And he's proved that he's come back, and you know in this Vuelta he was not at the level he needed to be at, and I think that is something they have to look at within the Ineos team, because you know when a rider goes away and maybe going back to Colombia, all of those things, is that the best thing to do when the riders go away? Yeah. We know now the way the big tour riders prepare all these altitude training camps with the team and that, and they're monitored a bit more. So, yeah, he's proved he's back, and he's back pretty close to his top level, but I think a little bit too late into this Vuelta.
Mm. Jack Haig, Brad, we mentioned him there. He said afterwards that he wanted his Bahrain Victorious team to make the race hard today, just to see after yesterday, just to see if anyone cracked. Because a lot of people we know would have really put an awful lot of guts and effort into yesterday, let alone what we saw today. It didn't work out for him, but fair play for giving it a go again.
Yeah, he's rallied them guys around him, really. He's become a real leader. He's shone this race for me. His interviews are really well balanced, and... he just seems like a really good guy as well. And for someone who's not used to sort of being the leader of the team, with obviously coming into this race, he's really kind of come of age this whole Grand Tour. And at the moment, I think, I don't think he'll make it onto the podium, but I think he said a week ago now, he did an interview, he said that anything more than where he's at the moment is a bonus. He's been up there in the Dauphiné and Paris-Nice, but... this is by far and away his biggest result.
I mean, you've got guys like Damiano Caruso and Wout Poels working for you, given what they've achieved in the sport.
Exactly, yeah.
And how long they've been around too. When you've got guys like that, and he's still quite a young rider by comparison, that speaks a lot for his character.
Yeah, and he's emptied the tank every day, which, he's repaid his teammates admirably.
Sean, the questions that we saw put to Roglic after today's stage, whether today was the queen stage or whether yesterday was the queen stage. You wanted Roglic to show a little bit more swagger in his answers, didn't you? He's a bit too polite.
Yes, very much so. I think, you know, he was asked a question about yesterday and today's stage, which was the, you know, the big the Queen stage, and you know, he didn't really give an answer. And so I was saying, well, he should have said yesterday was it, because I won the stage and Lagos Covadonga is the one.
Brad, are you would you hope for a little more? I know he's been. We've talked about how relaxed he's been, but do you think it's time Roglic showed a little bit more swagger in the way he deals with journalists?
No, that's him, and that's what makes him so good. You can't change who you are, really, fundamentally, and I wouldn't know. I mean, it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about the journalists, it's about Roglic.
Mm.
It's not really about us sitting here watching it or the journalists. He does what he has to do. He gives the right answers. He's very professional about what he does, and he goes about his business. You know, it's best to be good on the bike than give a good interview.
They've been playing it down, Jumbo-Visma, and we've heard that from Roglic. It's in the bag for him now, though, surely.
Yeah.
We are not going to see the same thing we saw at the Tour last year.
No, because we don't have a time trial like that, Planche de Belfort, do we? So, and we don't have anyone like Pogacar in the race either who can challenge him.
But he wasn't letting Bernal, even with a cushion of 4.5 minutes, he just wasn't letting him out of his sight today. Every time Bernal attacked on that final climb within that last 4 or 5 Ks, Roglic just used it as a springboard to go with him.
He tried to win the stage, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, and they said that, they openly said that they were trying to win the stage today. So he was just, it really wasn't about the GC once they got onto that climb. It almost looked like they were just racing for the stage, it was a straight out race.
Yeah. Roglic safe in the red jersey. Roman Bardet lost the KOM jersey today because of Michael Storer's efforts. He's now 5 points behind. That was a curious little subplot when we saw Storer so far up the road, but Bardet being given license to go for as many points as he could in the KOM competition too.
Yeah.
And dragging a couple of people along with him.
Yeah. I think he was just going for the stage win, and a byproduct of that was that he got the King of the Mountains jersey off his teammate. And I think the main thing was it stayed in the team.
Mm.
So I think Romain will be the first to congratulate him tonight.
Mm. Sean, what did you make of that with DSM? Do you think they played that well? Or do you think if Bardet hadn't have set off in chase so soon, do you think Storer could have been, because he was only caught with sort of 7 Ks to go?
No, I don't think Storer had any chance of getting to the end and winning the stage. And, you know, we see Bardet when there was one of the guys from Escatel went in the attack, and he just followed him and picked up the remaining points on the on that mountain classification. And you could see that was the normal thing to do. It was easy picking. It wasn't that the race was on behind big time, that there was a team driving it on. So just pick up the points available. And you know, now it's in with DSM. The two are in the top of the mountain classification, and they just have to control it from here.
We'll be back with more from the Bradley Wiggins Show after this. Brad, we're fortunate to be sponsored by Zwift, where fun is fast, but it also unlocks performance. Great app, but we use it in very different ways, don't we?
We do. I mean, I tend to go on sometimes with my son now and just try and keep up with him, really. And it's a way of riding together and grouping up with other people, maybe a few people, friends that live in London, if I'm up north, or vice versa, because, you know, you can't always get on the roads with people. I've been on there with Matt Stevens, and I've also done some live Zwift sessions through Le Col and caught up with the likes of Victor Campenaerts and Fabian Cancellara on it. So it's a great tool.
I'm a big fan of being able to get on there at short notice without having to organise a group ride in real life, if you like, and just buzz it around with a few mates.
Yeah, there's always someone on there that's willing to ride, even if, you know, it's a good way of making new mates.
It is, even if your mates aren't about. There's group rides, a massive community of pros on there, people exactly like me, exactly like you.
And I believe there's some Olympic-inspired routes on there, isn't there, Graham?
There are. You can explore the Mercury Islands to get you geared up, ready for the Olympics.
And I believe there's a 7-day free trial available.
Well, just in time for the Olympics, there's a 7-day free trial, a special offer. Find out more, download the app today. Welcome back to the Bradley Wiggins Show. Brad, looking forward to tomorrow. We've got a medium mountain stage, 3 categorised climbs, stage 19, a long day, 191 kilometres. I'm thinking back to Adam Yates' interview before today's stage, and he just said everyone in the peloton is tired at this point. It's got to be one for the breakaway tomorrow, hasn't
it? I think it'll be a big break, and the winner will come from there, and Jumbo will ride all day, and it's another day ticked off for them.
Sean, you think tomorrow could be one for a young British rider, don't you, that we didn't see much from today, perhaps resting himself in preparation?
Yes, I think Pidcock for tomorrow's stage. We've seen him, he's getting better as the race go on, as is the case with Bernal. Ineos Grenadiers, you know, they need to get a stage victory out of this race, and I feel that he will be looking to get into the breakaway. And if he does, you know, the terrain in the beginning is difficult, but in the end, it's not that majorly difficult. So I could see a small group of riders getting to finish tomorrow for the stage.
Mm. Brad, Ineos have got to be quite disappointed about how this Vuelta has gone for them in terms of what they've had, or having such little to show for their efforts.
Yeah, but they came here with a big leader in Bernal, and you know, he's fought to the end every day, and he's up to fifth now in GC. So he's tried to win the race the last 2 days, and you know, the main thing is like the execution of it and going out there to try and win the race. It hasn't paid off, but I also don't think they came with a very strong squad. I think they came with a lot of tired legs.
Mm.
I think, you know, Rowan Dennis, since he's announced, well, since the rumblings of him going to leave the team before the Tour de France, obviously he didn't get selected for the Tour. It always seems strange you don't race someone for half a season because they're going to leave. And someone of the quality of Rowan, off the back of the Olympics, would have been a big asset to that team here.
You're effectively paying someone not to race for other people.
Yeah, it always seems to go that way. And it's a little bit of a, I don't know, it seems a bit stupid.
Yeah. Do we expect too much from Adam Yates, partly because of what we've seen his brother achieve, but also partly because of what we've seen him do at the Tour de France, winning the Young Riders jersey, yeah, finishing fourth?
Absolutely, yeah, which was quite a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we expect a lot from him because, you know, he won Catalonia this year. We saw him going to Ineos as a step up in terms of him really taking on some sort of leadership and maybe one of the next projects for being the main guy for the Tour de France. And it hasn't gone to plan.
One final mountainous day, proper mountainous day on Saturday. Is that the day for Yates? Could that be the day for Yates?
I mean, he's just a bit hot and cold at the moment, isn't he? Yesterday I was really promising. It looked promising that he could do something today, but he just looked in difficulty all day today once he hit that last climb. And you just don't know with Adam. He could come back and win the stage. He seems to have a good day and a bad day and a good day and a bad day. And it'd be nice to see him finish off this race with a stage win.
Mm. How do you see the final two stages panning out over the weekend, Sean? So we've got that final mountain stage on the Saturday. I mean, it's got to be a gimme, the time trial for the man currently in the red jersey, isn't it?
Yes, I think the time trial, you know, there's not going to be great changes in the overall standings, and certainly not the top place in the GC with Roglic. He is, you know, totally in control of that that position now. The next two stages are going to be stages where the breakaway, I think, will be the ones where the stage will be won from. And, you know, talking about Adam Yates, he's not a rider that goes in the breakaways a lot. He doesn't do that. He usually, you know, when he gets to the mountain with riders and can finish up at a mountaintop finish. But, they're going to be really desperate to get stages, and it depend on, you know, what happened tomorrow. Then Saturday stage, it could be a day where we might see, you know, they really having to push the boat out and try and get a stage win.
Brad, you know exactly what this feels like, being on top of the pile but also having a time trial still to come, something you know you're going to be head and shoulders above everyone else in the race.
Yeah, he's just got to execute it like he does every time, Primoz, and you know, it's in the bag at this point, and the team are going to have to get round him the next couple of days. And it's just about not taking any risks at this stage, getting to that last time trial and executing what he does best. I could see him winning this race by 5 minutes.
And who do you think is going to join him on the podium? Is it, do Movistar have that position 2 and 3 locked out?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. None of them are really great time trialists after, you know, second, third, fourth, but I can't see it shifting too much at this stage, really. I think the time gaps are too big.
Yeah. Bernal and Haig on the opening time trial didn't show enough to suggest that they're going to be able to overturn it.
I wouldn't have thought so, no. Not with the time gaps. And a time trial on the last day is always very difficult. It's not like a time trial sort of a couple of days to go, or, you know, everyone's pretty tired, and getting on your time trial bike after 3 weeks is not easy.
Mm. Is that success for Movistar if it finishes the way it is now, second and third on the podium at, as you've called it, their world championships? It's their home race. It's the one they want to. They need success for. It's how they measure themselves as a team.
Yeah, I think second and third, if two people on the podium is a great result, and they've got a stage win now, and I think that all their success now has come in the last part. You know, I think that's the best they can hope for with someone like Primoz Roglic, as strong as he is.
Mm. Sean, you took the jersey, didn't you? Was it the day before, or was it the time trial when you won in 88?
Yes, on the penultimate stage.
Yeah. Did you know you were going to take it at the time? Did you think, okay, if I race this stage like I know I can, I know I'm going to come out with the leader's jersey and then I just have to hang on to it?
Yes, I was confident going into it because I was against Anselmo Fuerte, who wasn't, you know, a good as time threat as I had been and the results I had put up. So I was quite confident going into it. But at the end of a 3-week race, you know, you're always concerned that you're going to have an off day and you can lose a lot of time. And, you know, I had seen it with other big tours, during my career. So you're always that little bit concerned. But as all you can do is just, you know, do the normal thing that you do best, prepare for the time trial, you know, from the early in the morning and just go out there and give it your best shot. And that's what I did and it worked out perfectly.
Throughout the 3 weeks, were you aware that sort of other Spanish teams coming together to work against you?
No, I don't think I had that situation at all. I was riding for CAS, which was a Spanish sponsor. So I think I was, you know, well supported there. And because of that team, you know, there was a lot of people behind me and there was never any situation where the teams were going to ride against me. It was just every team and every rider, they just battled out and gave your best. And the best man won in the end of the race.
Brad, last time Movistar did anything in terms of real success at the Vuelta, we're thinking back to either Valverde on the podium 2 years ago, or we're talking about Nairo Quintana, which seems like an age ago, winning in 2016.
Yeah, but like I said, they're going to get two people on the podium this race by the looks of it, certainly one. And they lost Valverde this race. You know, he's kind of like a stalwart of this race. He's part of the fabric of the Vuelta. But it is what it is. You know, you can only do your best, really. And they do lack, I think they do lack a big leader like they've had in the past. You know, when you go back to the likes of Indurain, Olano, Delgado, they've had Jose Maria Jimenez, you know, when they were in Benesto. And they've always had good riders, Menchov. But they've pinned all their hopes on Lopez at the moment, who's, you know, he's getting more consistent in his performances now. But they've just come up against someone in the Tour de France like Tadej Pogacar and Primoz Roglic, who loves doing the Vuelta and is well set to win his third Vuelta. So it's very difficult, but they probably need to go into the market to look at. And who knows, someone like Britain's Geraint Thomas could be someone who could do that for them.
Yeah, you think so?
Well, I mean, we were talking about his contract the other day, weren't we? And there's been no news about it.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see Geraint leave that team, really, and spread his wings a little bit, because he's still capable of so much more in this sport. And Ineos, it's a funny setup, but it's almost getting worse, isn't it? You know, they've got all these big team leaders, but they don't win with the amount of leaders they've got. I mean, you think they've got 3 or 4 big Grand Tour winners in there. They're all on, you know, well over 3 or 4 million, which, you know, they pay 3 or 4 riders what most teams have for a budget for a year. And it's not really worked out, you know, that there's a grand plan of trying to win all 3 Grand Tours. They've not got nowhere near it, have they?
Alex Dowsett did all right there as a British rider in that sort of setup. I know he wasn't a leader, so we're not necessarily talking about the same thing. But he found success there.
Yeah, I think Movistar aren't like French teams used to be as well. You know, they're quite set in their roots of their nation and could be quite traditional. And Movistar more than most, you know, because of the heritage they have in that squad, going back to Indurain and Delgado. And I think they've really advanced and changed, and the likes of sort of Canyon coming on board, they've got their time trial set up. And Alex, I think, helped a lot with that, with the Hour Record project he did and the advancements they made in their aerodynamic stuff. But obviously they won the Giro, didn't they, with Carapaz? And they've got proven success, track record of success.
Sean, what do you think? Could that be a good move for Geraint Thomas?
No, I don't think it's going to change anything for Movistar taking on Geraint Thomas. And when you look at Movistar in this race, I think, you know, they've got the best they could out of it. Losing Valverde was a big loss because, you know, he was the rider there. He can read the race, and the position he was in, he could go in the attack and he could really, you know, shake up the race very early on. So he was badly missed. But against the Primoz Roglic, as Bradley said, you know, there's not many teams. Even Ineos, I think if you had a Bernal who was, you know, a much better Bernal, he would have difficulty, I think, toppling Primoz Roglic in this race, because he was in control all the way through. And the team, we see the way the team rode here. Like, they were never put under pressure. They had so many riders from the team of Primoz Roglic in the final of the stages. I think he was just untouchable in this race. And I don't think, you know, any of the riders we talk about here was in this tour, there was no way they were ever going to beat him.
Mm. Are they just approaching this final weekend sort of hanging on? Anything can happen. Roglic could come down again like we've seen him do.
Yeah, I mean, he could.
Don't say it.
You know, I don't think he'll... he's not that much of a hubbard on a bike. I think he's... he's not that much of a liability. I think he has had his crashes, but, you know, I think it just shows anyone's capable of having those crashes, but I don't think he's a walking liability.
He doesn't need to take any risks now.
No, definitely not.
That brings us to the end of this episode of The Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, brought to you by Zwift, the cycling app that makes training fun because fun is fast. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Great to have you back. Brad, thank you as ever.
Yep.
You're both here until the end.
Until Sunday, yeah.
Until Sunday, yeah. Enjoy the TV. I will say goodbye to you for now. The pod, though, Brad, carries on in my absence.
Does it?
Yeah. Where can we find you on social media,
Shall
Sean?
We go. Sorry.
Sean Kelly at Sean Kelly CC.
And Brad, as Shall ever, we go. Sir Wigate. You can follow Eurosport on Twitter at Eurosport_UK. Plus, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you to our producer, Pete Burton. Finally from me, Graham Wilgos, it's goodbye. If you've enjoyed the show, please do subscribe, share and rate us. Brad, Sean, thanks again.
Thank you.
Be back tomorrow.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.